I know Pastor probably gets tired of hearing this a lot, but I do got to give him honor and thanks. He is, he has been for me great strength and a friend. I call him my friend because he is to me. He's my friend. He's my pastor. And it took a lot for me to, a person like me to submit to somebody. I didn't know the meaning of it. When I first came around, not this church, but other people, I actually talked bad about it. That's because I didn't understand it. And now I understand. And I love my pastor. I love his wife. My pastor, he's real. He's smart, and he's always there for you. Even though, you know, he's a busy guy. He's busy. He's wanted everywhere. And that shows the kind of person you are if you're wanted a lot. And I think my pastor, Sister Clark, she's humble. She has a caring spirit about her. She's full of love, and she's not afraid, and she's not ashamed, and she will, you know, come out of the blue and hug you, or she hugs my wife, and I see her hug the church, and there's something real about her, and the church needs it, and we're happy. I'm glad that I'm in this church. Her Rice Krispie treats, I gotta say, her Rice Krispie treats.
Amen.
I remember a lot. I've had them twice only in a couple of years I've been there, but I remember those well. And I'm a person that's eaten a lot of desserts in my life, and I remember her Krispie treat because that shows you right there. But thank you guys. Now I'm not. I'm not the best person. You know, I don't have a lot of confidence in my ability to speak in public, but I do it anyways. You know what? Because I just have that in me. I don't, you know, I'm not perfect. I don't use big words. My vocabulary is not huge. I like to keep things simple, and that's how I am. But what I'm going to start off with is a lot of people ask me, not a lot of people, but some people have asked me a little bit about my background and my story. A lot of people know me, but a lot of people don't know my story. I don't have a bad story. Honestly, I really don't. There's a lot of people I was better off basically than a lot of people. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not as far as like finances or anything. I just, you know, I've always been protected, and now I know why. You know, when I grew up, I had a mom and a dad and family, and of course we were poor. Who wasn't poor? We were poor. One of the first memories I have was living in Compton in some apartments. Probably 3 or 4 years old, swimming in a big pool for some reason, and it wasn't a bad thing, but yeah, we were poor. My dad lost a job. He got hurt, you know, the same thing like everybody else, basically. But at a young age, I could honestly say now that I'm in my 40s, and I think about my life. I think about what I've been through and what I have felt, and I could think now that yes, for some reason, I was protected. I feel, you know, I'm just talking about me here. I feel I was protected. I grew up, my mom, my dad, my brother, my two sisters. Of course, they're all older than me, but in our household, they caused trouble. I really didn't cause too much trouble, unless I'm patting myself in the back. I don't know. But I don't really remember me causing too much trouble like them. Being at a young age, I actually had a different mindset. I didn't watch cartoons when I was a kid. I didn't play with people my own age, or I always hung around older people, friends, family. You know, I really didn't. I had that in me for some reason. You know, I had I knew right from wrong at a very young age, and so that right there, I think that's what kind of helped me along the way here. I was real close to my dad. You know, I love my dad. He since very young, he took me to work with him. He taught me how to fish. He taught me how to hunt. He, you know, camp, and we would do all those things together. That's why I'm the way I am right now. I like to be outdoors because of my dad. You know, he his work ethic, it just came down to me. My brothers and my sisters came kind of the other way. You know, they really didn't get along with my dad too much. It was always my mom. You know that I had a mom that was real protective over her kids, but more of them than me. I think now that I think about it, I think she knew also that I was okay, that maybe I didn't need so much protecting like they did, so much covering like they did. You know, so it was more, you know, as a teenager, she was more on their side than on my side, if that's the right way to say it. But again, I didn't mind. I love my mom, and I loved her, you know, but we had our differences. My sisters, my brothers, you know, we really didn't get along with me or my dad at a young age, but to me it was fine. As long as I had my dad, I was okay. That's how I was. You know, at 18 years old, my mom died. My mom had cancer. And by the time this was in the 90s, so by the time they found out she had cancer, it was because I was about 16 years old. I took her to the doctor. I remember that day. I'm never going to forget it, taking her to the doctor. And me sitting in the waiting room and her coming out, crying her eyes out because they told her she had cancer and it didn't look too good. So I remember that day sitting in the parking lot with her, trying to console her and telling her they'll be I was telling her that it'll be okay. But, you know, 2 years later, she passed away. I was 18. At that time, I had a little brother now. He was 8 years old. So when she passed away, my brother was not in the house no more. My two older sisters were not in the house no more. So when she passed away, it was me, my dad, my grandpa, and my little brother. I didn't know I was going to do this. Forgive me.
You're doing fine, Brother Dave. You're doing great, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
honestly, I really haven't really talked about my story, so this, I'm getting emotional because I really don't get emotional like this, but yeah, it was me. When she died, it was my grandpa, my dad, and me, and my little 8-year-old brother, and I was only 18 years old, and you know, made it work, you know, my dad worked, I had a part-time job, so took care of my older grandpa. I took care of my little brother. You know, and when I say take care, I'm talking about cooking and cleaning and washing clothes and making lunch and schoolwork and, you know, it was tough. But I had to do it. I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, what were we going to do? It was us. That's what we had to go through. You know, it ended up being all right. You know, of course it was hard, but we got through it. At that time, I grew up Catholic, you know, my mom, my dad were Catholic and real strong Catholics. You know, so of course, as kids, you know, we went to church. Well, I did more, but you know, there was always something there. There was always something there. You know, when I would go to church, and I knew there was something missing. There was something not right. And I would go to the retreats, the 3-day retreats, and I would go every Sunday and Fridays and Tuesdays, whenever they, you know, not all the time. You know, as I got older, I started getting into things that, you know, I started having fun. I'm a kid. I like to have fun. You know, he got into cars. I didn't get into gangs and stuff like that, which I praise the Lord because it was always around, and it was always around me. I just never did it, but they were my friends, and you know, of course, being in the neighborhood, and that's who your friends are. But I got more into cars with, you know, and friends and family that way, and like building cars and car shows and stuff like that. At a very young age, you know, 16, 17, I already was doing that. But I kind of stood out of trouble that way. But going to church and even going to those things that I liked so much, you know, I still remember now waking up in the morning and laying in bed or driving somewhere and this thing always feeling that I'm missing something. Something is not there. Something is not right. But I couldn't put my mind on it. You know, so I just went through those years just like that, you know, and then, you know, getting a little older, you know, I got a job over here where I work at now at the Chevy dealership, and you know, I was 24 when I started working there, and still, you know, there's something there, something that's just missing in my life. There's something that's just missing in my life. But I couldn't pinpoint it. But the one thing I didn't know was to work hard. You know, I got that from my dad. I worked hard, I always thought if I work hard, I'll be okay. If I work hard, I'll be okay. You know, and yeah, you paid the bills and everything. You start, you know, so young, but still missing something. Still knowing that, you know, there's something wrong, you know, basically. You know, I met Sarah, and, you know, we met, and honestly, I fell in love with her. The first time I saw her, the first day I saw her, I knew, I don't know what it was about her. I don't know what it is, you know, and I still feel that way today. I love her and I need her. But yeah, and her, you know, when I met her, you know, she was a backslider. And we had, you know, she liked to have fun, and I like to have fun. You know, that's how I've always been. I have this thing in me where I like to have fun. You know, I can't, you know, that's always going to be in me. I tell my wife now, this is who I am now, and actually this is the way I'm going to be for the whole big great. But I like to have fun, and she liked to have fun. So, of course, we got along great, you know. We got along great, and we fell in love, and you know, but her being her state of mind and her way of life, she's the first one that would tell me about truth. And we would argue all the time, you know, because I would try to take her to a Catholic church, you know, just to spite her, and she would not, you know what, Sarah is strong. She would not budge, not even a little bit. Go and see what, let me take it to a Catholic church or go to Mass or go here, or, you know, anything to do with Catholic church, she would like to hear about it. And her being her state of mind and her life, she would tell me about truth and tell me the way things were. And then I started to know her kids more and more. And I remember driving to their church in Whittier and picking them up and taking them to get something to eat or whatever, you know, spending a little time with them. And I remember seeing them and seeing all those people and seeing how they were, and I would, you know, an outsider who doesn't know this thinks we're nuts. Honestly, they think we're nuts. You know, people in the world don't get this. They don't understand it. Because they don't see it and they don't feel it. So, and I was one of those persons, and I criticized Sarah all of that. I wouldn't tell her kids, of course, but I criticized a lot of their ways and their standards and how they were and their submission to, you know, it was nuts to me, you know, being young and, you know, like younger and not growing up that way and always, you know, had something in me of submission, or, you know, I just was not going to flag with me. And so we always argued about that and argued about that. I didn't want no part of any of this, you know, and neither, you know, she really wasn't trying to take me to a church or anything, but she was just talking to me and little by little putting it in me. We got married, we got lucky, we were able to buy a house, and we bought a house in 2010, and we were here working hard. I'm still in my job, I'm working hard, and in 2014, her son died, and that is that is when you know, things got real for us. I think they got real for us. For me, for her, it was in March of 2014. And, you know, we went through a hard time. She went through a hard time. And the family did, you know. Brother Paul from the church, you know, that's when, you know, a lot of people ask me about him. You know, a lot of people see him and they ask about him a lot, and they ask, how could I do it or how could we do it? You know what? It wasn't always like that. You know, me and Brother Paul, you know, before, we knew each other, but we didn't talk to each other. We, you know, he didn't like me and I didn't like him. That's, you know, the way it is. But it all changed when Fernando died. And that's when I really, that first night, we went to his house, and that's when we started to connect with Brother Paul. And you know, it's just we've just been friends ever since, you know. When that happened that night, when that happened, you know, my wife was, and of course, you know, you could understand, she wasn't in her right mind at all, you know. And I didn't, honestly, it was a lot for me, because I didn't really know how to handle it either. I never been, you know, and neither has she been through something like this. It's like, honestly, it's devastating. It's, you know, you could think you could be the strongest person in the world, but something like that happens to you, you lose a loved one. But when you lose a son or a daughter, that's something there that I don't wish upon nobody. You know, but again, you know, she wasn't doomed to do it. And her, you know, me being her husband, I, you know, of course I loved and I cared for her. But I didn't know what to do. So. Of course, I took to a doctor, took to different doctors, you know, I took it to psychiatrists, I took it to meetings, group meetings, and meetings about this, and meetings, looking for something for her to make her better, make her normal, and it was months and months and months after, and nothing was working, pills, nothing was working. And she has a nephew. His name is Abel. And you know, I've seen him here and there, you know, I really didn't know him you know, till then. But he's the one that he's like he's a minister, and he could actually be a pastor if he wanted to, but he, for some reason, he doesn't go that route. But he started talking to her. He would come to the house a couple times a week and spend time with her and talk to her and talk to her. And here and there, he would say, come to church, you know, come to my church, come to our church, come. And, of course, we were not church people or anything like that, but my wife knew it. My wife knew the truth. But she hasn't been in church in a long time, and I've never been to a church like that. But finally, I was so desperate. I said, yes, okay. It was in August, I remember, beginning of August. I started taking her to church, Apostolic Church, right here in North Fontana, and Oneness Church, everything. Started taking her there, and the very first service, after the very first service, I saw something. I saw something, a little happiness in her, a little something in her. I saw something. So that church over there, they only had church once a week on Sundays, and so I took her to again the following Sunday, and she started liking it, and I seen that was working. I didn't want to go to church, of course, but I was desperate for anything, and so we started going to church every Sunday, because I seen how it was helping her, and the people there would talk to her, and the pastor would talk to her, and it was helping her. It was helping her. Well, lo and behold, 3 months or so of taking her to church, and me, I'm not going for me, I'm going for her. But lo and behold, 3 months of going to church, like in November, me sitting there hearing the word, it just got me. Something snapped in me. Something changed in me. I remember. And oh my God, I felt something like, this is right. This is right. This is what it is. This is what I've been looking for my whole life. I always knew something was not there. Something was not right in me and in my life. But sitting there, it took 3 months and a lot of other things going on, preaching and this and that, to break into me and to something just snapped. And I started getting it and I started loving it. I couldn't get enough of it. Like I could not get enough of it. I remember them. If there was something going on, I was there. Me and Sarah were there. It didn't matter whose house, what house. If there was something going on and we were invited, we were there. I needed to soak up everything, and I couldn't get enough of it. As a matter of fact, I think I wanted it more than a lot of other people. Because there was something new, and something in me told me this is right, this is it. And man, what a change! From November. And then in March, the following March, I got baptized, and that's when it really, that's when my life started to change. Of course, it took a long time for me to get the Holy Ghost. It took a long time. It took a long time and a lot of praying and a lot of people praying for me and a lot of praying with me and a lot of discouragements but when I got the Holy Ghost the following November, I remember it. There was only one person praying with me. His name was Brother Ben. I'm never going to forget that man. Brother Ben, he was with me He was awesome. He was glorious. He was powerful. He was moving. You know, everything around you is gone, and you're lost. And you know, it's something that I'm never going to forget. Now, I'm not one of those persons that could speak in tongues at any given time. You know, I really have to humble myself. You know, a lot. I really have to get down and on my knees and pray to get the Holy Ghost. I don't have it in me to just blurt it out like that. I don't have it in me. But when I get it, oh Lord, it puts me in my place. You know, it. You know, there's a little backstory to that here. You know, Brother Vic, am I taking too much time?
You're doing good, Brother David. Now we want to hear that backstory, sir. Before you finish up, let us hear that backstory.
There's a little backstory here. You know, like I said, I got my. I don't want to praise myself or anything. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just. I know I work hard, and there's something in me that. That I've always had it in me, you know, to work hard and where I was at, you know, I started in 2004. I was 24 years old where I was at the dealership, and I've always worked hard, right? Long days, you know, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's my hours, and 8 to 4 every other Saturday. You know, I did that for years, and I worked hard because I wanted to move up. I wanted to get somewhere. I wanted to. You know, rise in the ranks, you know, there, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to do that at a dealership because people there, you know, tend to be there a long time. But I always knew if I always try, if I work hard, I'll get there, right? But I always fell short. No matter what I did at work, no matter what I did, to please the owners, to work with them, to do things, to take things apart. You know, it didn't matter. I started in 04, you know, 5 years later, I knew so much. I could basically run the department all by myself. You know, that's what I took it upon myself to learn as much as I can do what I can. And I was everywhere. But of course, you know, a company sees a person like that. They love you, you know. They love your hard work and what you do for them, you know. But I never actually got. I stood in the same position. I never could get. I was almost there, but I could never step over it and say, "Oh, okay," you know. And I tried for years, and because of that, I put a lot of my life aside. You know, I have a son. His name is Junior. He's 20 years old. You know, because of that, you know, I was always at work. I missed a lot of things. I missed a lot of his life, and I regret it. You know, now that I see. It's not worth it. You think you're, you know, I thought I was doing right. I thought to myself, oh, I just work up, you're right. But I did push him aside a lot, and now I'm trying to make up for that. But I worked, and I couldn't pass that hump. I couldn't go over it. I couldn't get to the next level. Well, in this time that I started going to church, Fernando died, I started going to church, you know, all of a sudden things started to open up at work. And I'm dealing with all this with my wife, but on my work side, things are starting to open up for me. And I started hearing talk and this and that. Still, you know, I hear it, but I don't get there. Well, I get baptized in March, a Sunday morning in March, I get baptized. And the following Monday morning, the following day, I get called into the office, and my boss tells me that he's going to make me his assistant manager. And honestly, that's, I didn't want to be a big manager. I just wanted to be the, you know, like a little manager, you know, that's what I call it. And he said, that Monday morning, he said, I'm going to make you my assistant manager. And that blew me away because it made me realize, that no matter how hard I worked, I always thought I could do it myself, Yeah, it paid bills and you know, I was living life, but as soon as I got baptized, I did it, boom. They promoted me, things got a little bit better, you know, at home. And I always thought that, to me, I don't know if that, you know, I don't know if that sounds right or saying, but to me, I believe when I say I worked hard, and I never got nowhere. Yeah, I made a lot of people happy, but I never got nowhere. And it took me getting baptized. It took me accepting Jesus in me, accepting Jesus in my life, and in my home, and in my wife, and me getting baptized, and boom, boom, just like that. I didn't have to do anything. I just got baptized, and they gave me the position. And then on that following Tuesday, I get a phone call from another dealership. They wanted to hire me. They wanted me to go work over there for, you know, it just, things started opening up for me. And I was amazed. You know, I was amazed. I like telling that story because the one thing that I remember, you know, important thing is that, yeah, the Lord, now that I think back on my life, the Lord has taken care of me. When I was younger, he put a good, even being as a kid, kind of a sound mind. I had a sound mind. I didn't like to mess around. I didn't like to cause too much trouble. Yeah, trouble was always around me. I'm not saying I didn't get into trouble. A lot of times, honestly, I just didn't get caught also. but I was always protected. I was always taken care of. You know, that's what I remember. And it's not over. No, it's not over. I get baptized and get the Holy Ghost and that's it. No. You know, this starts, this continues every day. You know, every day I don't want to end here. You know, I pray that the Lord opens up more doors, you know. And I feel that when it's time, he will. You know, it's very hard, again, for me to be this way when I wasn't before, when I grew up different, and I didn't need nobody. I was able to do things on my own, you know, but now I understand, you know, you know, I thank the Lord, honestly. I thank the Lord, you know, I thank the Lord for this truth. I do, for this revelation of truth, you know, to me, yeah, I heard it for months and months, you know, but I didn't get it until it was revealed to me. He let me realize what he was saying and what he was trying to put into me. You know, it's just something that, you know, me, again, you know, when I look back and I remember, like, being critical of you know, Sarah's kids, of how they grew up in the church, and they, you know, from young, like, you know, Samuel, from young, you know, grew up in the church. He grew up in the church, and now I even look at our youth, you know, and that's why, you know, I have something in me for our youth. You know I don't express myself good and a lot, but believe it, you know, if any youth is hearing, I do. I admire you guys. I admire for what you're doing and how you do it. And because it's hard. It's hard out there. You know, now at my age, I wish my mom and dad were in this truth, and I was born into this, and I was sheltered from the world, and I didn't have this junk that I have in my mind and my memory of how this world is. I wish I was sheltered and taken care of and raised in church and in truth. Because now, you know, as you guys are getting older, you know, hopefully you don't have to fight the same battles that a lot of us don't have and didn't have, and we didn't get an opportunity. You know, we grew up in the world. We grew up in, you know, some of us grew up in the streets. Some people, you know, grew up bad, you know, and we didn't have, and it takes a lot. It takes a lot to go from that world to this truth. It takes a lot. So I admire you guys that are there, and especially being young. Young right now in this world is not a good thing. It's a lot of junk out there. You guys know it. You know, you guys aren't dumb. You guys know it. You guys see it. But you guys always have pastor. You guys always have the church. But for us that come from the world, to be in this church with you guys, oh, it's an honor. It's an honor. It's like I feel like I'm safe. I'm safe here. You know, I made it. Oh, my God, I made it. I've been in a good church where I don't belong to be here. I don't belong here. But I made it, you know, and a lot of us, I think, feel that way, that we're happy to be here, you know. For people that come into the church that have a bad background, have a different way of life, and to be also young, and for them to come in, wow, that is hard. That is hard to do, because it is hard to, I'm telling you, it's hard to leave the world and put the world aside to come to church and want to be in church. So when we see somebody at church, you know, that a visitor or somebody that's coming and trying, I have a heart for them. I do. I have a heart for them. I have a heart for everybody. I love everybody. You know, I don't care if you don't like me, but I want to talk to you. I want to be your friend. There's times, you know, forgive me if I've not been as friendly as I should have been, or if I offended somebody. Believe me, in my heart, I have no offense towards nobody in our church. I have no offense at all towards nobody. I can honestly say that. You know, I love everybody. You know, yeah, you know, still, you know, at the same time, you know, of course, we live in the world. We still live in this world. We have to go to work. We deal with the junk at work. We have to deal with it. We have to see it. We have to hear it. We live in this world, you know, so, you know, we just have to be careful. We have to be careful and thank the Lord. And me personally, how I do it, now this is just me. I'm not saying this for everybody here. This is just what I do for me. You know, everybody has, like the Bible says, everybody has to find their own salvation. The way I do it is I humble myself almost every morning. Humble mind. You have to humble yourself. That is the key. That is the beginning right there of my day. If I don't humble myself and get the Lord with me, then it's a different kind of day. But I die daily. I ask for forgiveness. I humble and pray, and I get humble and I pray and I ask the Lord. I thank Him. That's just what I do. You know, I'm not a big reader of books, but I do read the Bible. I have not read the Bible all the way through yet. I have not. It's big. A lot of words in there. But I love reading verses, and I love reading passages. And I'm not the smartest guy, so I'll read the same verse 30 times, you know, before something clicks, and I start to understand. And when the Lord reveals these verses to me, not just verses, music, like gospel music, preaching. Oh my God, preaching! I can hear the same preaching 50 times, but I always catch a phrase, I always catch a word, and it enlightens me. You know, I don't know. I'm rambling on. I know, I am. But I love everybody, and I wish everybody the best. And humble yourself, and thank the Lord that we're in this church. We could be anywhere else in this world, but thank the Lord that we're in this church with Brother Vic to help pastor with our pastor and his wife, the family. We're in this church. I'm sorry if I took a lot of your time. I know once I get going, I start rambling. Forgive me. But that is me. That is kind of my story. But I love you guys. And if you guys need anything, you guys know I will do whatever I can, if I can. In the name of Jesus. Brother Vic.
Brother Dave, it was all good. It was great. And I believe we have our pastor on the line right now, Pastor Clark.
Can you hear me, Brother Vic?
Loud and clear, sir. Yes, sir.
Brother Dave, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Dave, I'm doing just fine. I was making my way home from Costco, and I was looking forward to hearing you speak tonight. And I just want to tell you, Brother Dave, I love you and your wife. It was a great day for our church and for my wife and I when you and Sarah came to church here.
Yes.
And you and your wife are loved by the church. You have favor with the people.
Yes.
And I take it as a great compliment that you feel like that I'm your friend.
Yes.
In addition to your pastor. I take that as a real, real compliment.
Praise.
And Dave, you're a good man, and you love God, and you love the Word of God. And I think that you're on the way. God is already developing you to become a great leader in our church.
Yes.
And your humility is going to take you to places that you would have never gotten to on your own. But one more thing I'm going to say is I know you're a hard worker. And when God called anyone all through the Word of God, he didn't call lazy people. He called people who were working and busy and doing things. And so you've got that same drive for the work of God. And you know what? God's not going to forget those things that you do. And the Bible says that promotion cometh from the Lord. And God is going to promote you at the right time, at the right place, at work, and also in the work of God. So, hey, we love you guys. And